I really appreciated Bob coming up here at the wrong time. Welcome to the club, Bob, because I'm in that club. One time I walked up before the worship team was singing their last song, and I became a member of the worship team for one song. And for your benefit, all I did was lip sync, and I was saying watermelon the whole time. I don't know. Looks like I'm really singing, but I wasn't, and that was for your benefit, so misery loves company. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Before I begin my message this morning, I want to just deal with the big issue at hand. And I know that is the fact that we all probably know people, loved ones or family, maybe close friends who are in Florida or in the path of the hurricane. We've had a lot of things on our prayer chain. I'd like to just ask everybody to, if you have someone right now, you know, parent, sister, brother, child, you have material things in Florida, you know, houses, trailers, other things. Would you raise your hand? Who has all those? Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. I would just like to invite us right now just for a few moments and pray for people in the path of the hurricane. Would you do that with me? Father, I can't name everybody who raised their hand. I've seen some names on the prayer chain who have put prayers out, but I knew it was far more than just those people. And so as you can, in your magnitude, hear each one of those names of people that are on our hearts and our minds right now, we bring them before you, Lord. We know that the material things matter, and we pray for protection of property and homes and mobile homes and businesses, telephone lines, infrastructure, all those things. We pray for protection of all those things. But Father, most of all, we pray for the protection of people. We pray that everyone would be wise and discerning, that they would come together, those who are there in the midst of it, and help each other. And we know you're not a God that sends calamity. But we know in this world, your word tells us trials will come. We shouldn't be surprised by that. But we can turn to you for help. And so we're asking for help right now. And when this comes through, if there's other ways that we can help and support everyone that's going through this, show us how. But we pray for safety. We pray for everyone coming together. And just maybe, Lord, it's hard for me to understand this. Maybe we just need some hurricanes to bring us all back to our senses and know what matters most. Help us to just grab that moment and realize that, I pray. That life is so much more important than all the bickering and fighting we do with each other. Help us to know that and turn to you for help. And turn to one another as you guide us to help one another through this time. In Jesus I pray. Amen. So good morning, Grace Church. I'm Scott Taylor. I'm on the leadership board at Grace Church, and I'm here filling in for Pastor Wes, who is away this weekend. And it's an honor to be up here to share with you from God's Word. But before I read you the story from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, which is what my message is based on, I'd like to just show you a few things. First of all, where it takes place. So I have to kind of go through a few things. But, you know, I'm a simple guy. I don't know about you, but I am someone who just, if I'm given too much to think about, I just won't get it right. So I'm going to give you three words to remember. You think you can remember three words today? Oh, that wasn't... All right, let me ask that again. It's going to be a tough morning. You think you can remember three words?
Yes.
All right. Now we're getting better. So the three words are simply this. Leave, surrender, and do. Not too tough, is it? All right. I believe in the KISS method of life. You've heard that, right? Keep it simple, stupid. You know, that's me. The last S. So leave, surrender, do. Can you repeat those three words with me? Leave, surrender, do. Good. Go. Let's go get coffee. We're done. Now, before I begin the message, and this is what we're going to be talking about, I believe this morning God is going to be speaking to you about one, two, or all three of these things. How does God want you to leave something, maybe? How does God want you to surrender? And how does God want you to follow Christ? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Might be all three. Might be just one that he's going to focus on. Because sometimes it's not necessarily sequential. Sometimes two or three of them are all happening at once. But I often find sometimes one thing unlocks the others. And so I just ask you to be open and willing to listen to what Christ might say to you. We've been asking through many of the songs today for the Holy Spirit to speak. And I don't really think it's my words. I think if God is going to speak to you, I probably won't speak specifically to something unless somehow God's ordained it. I don't even know about it. I believe the Spirit is going to be speaking to us about that this morning. But before I get to the message from Luke chapter 5, I want to just share a little bit about where it takes place. And up on the screen here is a map of the time when Jesus was ministering. And our story this morning is a fish story, and it's a story worth retelling. If you look up here at the top of the map right up here, oh, look at that, it works. This is the Sea of Galilee right up there, and that's where the story takes place. It's at a small fishing village of Capernaum, which is on the very northern end of the part of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Jesus gives a message to some people, which is the basis of our story. Now, the Sea of Galilee is kind of an interesting place. It's about 13 miles long and about 7 to 8 miles wide, so it's a fairly large lake. The unique thing about it, it's about 680 feet below sea level, and it's got hills and mountains that surround it. Some of them go even up to about 2,500 feet tall. The fishing boats that are mentioned in the story might look something like this. Now, this was an archaeological dig that was uncovered not too long ago, and they dated this back to the time of Jesus. Now, we don't know really if this is the boat that Jesus used, but it would be pretty much a large wooden rowboat is what Jesus was in, maybe about 30 feet long, about 7-8 feet wide. Kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of what the boat was that was used. And so with that, let's go to the Bible story that the message is based on. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, that's what I'm going to be basing on. I'm going to project it up here, I think. There we go. There it is. You can look up there, or you can look it up in your smartphone app or your tablet app. But listen to me as I read the scripture. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. This morning, I pray we would have ears that hear, hearts that understand, and a willing spirit to do what you want us to do, Lord. Amen. Now, I must admit to you, it's sort of strange for me, given a message about a fish story, because I'm not into fishing. My last fishing trip was 3 hours that I couldn't believe that I spent probably 60 to 80 bucks for my son to feel sick for. But if this story here was something that happened to me, well, I think most of you know me well enough, I'd probably have a good time telling it over and over and over again. And Barbara would be sick and tired of it. But like I said, I want you to remember three things today. Leave, surrender, and do. So I'd like to start with the first word, surrender. The concept of surrender means to be humble and to yield to whatever God wants to do in your life. In this fish story, we see this concept of surrender in subtle and not so subtle ways. The story begins with Jesus teaching by the Sea of Galilee. And it gets so crowded, and he gets so crowded in that he gets into Peter's boat. And he tells Peter to push off from shore a little bit. Jesus sits down and begins to teach the Word of God. Now just pause for a moment. Think of a beautiful lake that you're at. I can't imagine a more amazing scene than that, being at a beautiful place, looking out at a beautiful lake, and listening to Jesus teach me. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? Sorry you have to listen to me this morning. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what he said in his teaching. I have my hunches. We've heard some of the other stories of Jesus. But even here, there's a subtle act of surrendering. It's not that obvious. Notice it was Peter's boat. Jesus didn't ask for permission to use it. And then he asked Peter to put it out from shore a little bit. And Peter does what he says. And Jesus continues teaching God's word. Now imagine you're Peter, an itinerant preacher. Although Peter did know about Jesus, we know that from chapter 4. But he comes and he sits in your boat, your place that you do your work, without asking permission. I mean, I know a lot of you, and if you came and just sat in my car without asking me, I'd kind of like wonder what's going on here, you know? But that's what's happening. And Peter just came in from a long, unsuccessful night of fishing. He and his other partners are cleaning the nets. They're tired, and they got a smell. And Jesus uses his boat to preach. Now, it's a little subtle, but by letting Jesus use his boat, Peter surrendered and allowed him to use it. And even at his request, he pushed it out from shore. Might not seem like a big deal, but I think little things matter in the realm of your relationship with God. And it got me to thinking, if I was Peter and just finished a rotten night of fishing, I'm wondering if I would have let him use my boat at that point. I wonder what I would have told Jesus, what I've said. It's kind of a bad time for this, Jesus. I'd recommend we reschedule this. Let me check my iPhone calendar here. How about, you know, October 35th? I'm too tired right now. You know, if you really love me, Jesus, you'd really help me clean up the nets. That wasn't how Peter responded. Now, I know it's a little small act of surrendering, maybe, but he allowed Jesus to use the boat. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Would you have let Jesus use your boat if you were Peter? Let me be a little more personal. Would you let Jesus use your car if he wanted to use it for kingdom purposes? Would you let him use your house? Would you let him use your toolbox? How about your talents? Maybe you have a skill to use. Maybe a paintbrush to use. Would you let Jesus use that? Small things matter when you offer them to Jesus. This is what godly stewardship is all about. We let Jesus have his way with our time and our possessions, our talents, and our money. I hope you're like Peter and you let Jesus use your material possessions for the kingdom of God. I suspect that letting Jesus use his boat prepared Peter to surrender to Jesus and something a little bit more difficult later on. And that's also in the story. Peter surrendered to his command to take the boat out into deep waters and let down the nets for a catch. Now, it's hard to know Peter's voice tone and his response to Jesus when Jesus asked him to do that, isn't it? My personal opinion, and I don't know if this is the right one, I'm going to have to ask Peter when I get to heaven. But my personal opinion is that Peter probably was a little tired, maybe a little whiny, and a tad bit negative. After all, Peter knew his stuff. He was a fisherman. And now he had a carpenter and an itinerant preacher trying to tell him what to do in terms of fishing. And it was the wrong time to fish. He was telling him the wrong thing. You know, sometimes I get people telling me how to be a better tennis coach, and they've never played tennis before. I don't appreciate it. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us the attitude of Peter, so I'm conjecturing here. That's my hunch. When Peter said, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Now, this is really the key point. Whether Peter had the negative attitude or not, he did it. So the key point in surrendering is to finally yield and give in to what Jesus asked you to do. Might be simple, just like offering your car or a boat. Might be a little bit harder when it's not so convenient and you're not sure it's a good idea and you'd have a better idea, or at least you think you do. But if you know it's something that Jesus wants you to do, I want to encourage you to be like Peter and say, "Because you say so," and surrender. Our second word this morning is to focus on the word leave. Now, I may be getting ahead of myself here from the passage, but at the end of the story, Peter and his partners left what? What does it say? Everything to follow Jesus. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, he's asked to leave his or her former way of life to follow Christ. And most of the time, that means leaving sinful behaviors. It means leaving the me attitude and a self-centered life to putting Christ at the center of your life. In this example with Peter and his partners, it meant leaving his fishing life, his business, to follow an itinerant preacher. It wasn't necessarily leaving a sinful life. It wasn't sinful to be a fisherman. That was how they made a living. It was a job change. It was a missional change. When I come across something like this, I quickly think how risky it must have been for Peter to do this. Just leave your way of making a living? Give it all up? It was Jesus who said to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And now Peter's being told to leave the way that he could make a living getting his daily bread and fish. To an unknown future. I've even heard people teach on this, and often the teaching goes like this. Jesus probably won't ask you to give it all up to follow him. But you have to give him the opportunity to do that if he would like you to. And it becomes a spiritual exercise. And I think it's actually a pretty good spiritual exercise. I've actually done it a few times, and I can tell you, it's hard to do if you really do it sincerely from the heart. I know when I've done it, and I've ended up on my knees mentioning a lot of things like, "Here's my bank account, Lord, it's yours. Here's my retirement. Here's my job." And I don't know why, it seems to be the hardest to lay my tennis rackets before him when I do it. But it's hard, and if you do it sincerely. But the end result has never been a job change for me. So I sometimes wonder if we're just too quick to spiritualize this. Does Jesus today still ask people to give it all up and go into full-time Christian ministry, literally, like Peter and his partners are? Well, you know, there's a story in the Bible about Jesus and a rich young guy. Comes up to Jesus, and Jesus tells him, "Go sell it all, give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And the rich young guy goes away sad because of all his wealth. And he never followed Christ. Last weekend, Danny Forte gave the message here. Now, Danny and Susan Forte are missionaries with China Outreach Mission. They're reaching out to Chinese internationals up in the Albany area. And Danny was in, and Susan were in my growth group the year before they finally went on to the mission organization that they're with right now. But I can remember them saying that they were really thinking about becoming missionaries after they retired. That was their plan. And as they were going through all the things that they were going through, thinking about becoming missionaries, I think it was someone from China Outreach Mission that said to them, because they were still a few years away from retirement, "What are you waiting for? We have these Chinese internationals come to the United States right now. We don't have enough people to go to them and share the gospel with them. We need you now." Kind of sounds like Jesus. And so Danny and Susan sold their house, raised support, quit their jobs, and now they're serving in Albany with the Chinese international students. And they're sharing Christ with people who have never heard the gospel before. And when I see Danny and Susan, when they come back and visit us, I don't know about you, I'm sure it's true for you, I just see a lot of smiles on their face. I love being around them. So I want to ask you this morning, Grace Church, who do you want to be like? The sad rich guy? Or the joyful Fortes? Who do you want to be like? I know the answer. You want to be like Danny and Susan. You know, Bob Dylan sang the song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." I think he should write another song. I like that song, by the way. But I say, he ought to come up with another song. "You're going to have to leave something." Now, are you willing to leave whatever God wants you to let go of so you can follow Jesus more closely? I realize most of us won't go into full-time ministry. But God does want us to minister where we are. And it may mean leaving things, especially things that soak up our time that inhibit us from the things that matter more. Perhaps things that you should be involved in here at Grace Church. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to get a chance to hear from Kent Hoffsmith, who is the elders candidate to be our next associate pastor. I know the search committee and the cabinet are excited to present him and his wife to you, his wife Amanda. But should we as a church agree for him to become our associate pastor, Kent and Amanda would be leaving lots of things to come serve here. Kent would be leaving friends, family, a stable job, and a family business. And Amanda would be leaving her administrative position with the Hershey Free Church. Leaving and surrendering is what we may be asking Kent and Amanda to do should we formally grant them the call to come here, to follow Christ, and to serve in our local community. And we too as a church family are going to have to leave some things in the past to move forward with a new pastoral team. Last fall we brought on Wes Smith to be our pastor. And soon we hope to have an assistant pastor join him. I'm excited about what's ahead as we move forward. And I hope you are too. I'm excited about what's ahead as we move forward. And I hope you are too.
Amen.
The last word I want to share with you is the word "do." Now, I've already alluded to the word "do" several times, and if you allow me a little poetic license, the word "do" is really several words. But I know if I keep it simple, you might remember it. I might remember it. See, it's easier for me to preach it if I don't have to remember too much. So here it is. Do follow Christ as you share the gospel with other people. You know, we have a great chance right here at Grace Church to go beyond our walls to share the gospel. Your leaders at Grace Church have been asking you to join us as we take the gospel into our local community. People who will never hear it unless we go to them. The key thing in outreach is to follow Christ as he leads us. Jesus has to be at the center of it all. There's no other reason to leave and surrender or make changes in your life unless Christ isn't calling you to do so. Now, I want to ask this question as we go back to the passage. Why were Peter and his partners willing to do that? Let's go back and look at the text. What's going on with Peter's response to the great catch? Peter falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Now, I have to tell you, that's not the response I would have at that moment. I wonder if you would expect that to be the response too. It's kind of shocking. It's kind of a downer on the story. Like, Peter, you got your script wrong here, right? I mean, I know if it was me or many of you, you'd probably give Pastor Wes a call and say, hey, Pastor Wes, you can take a break next week. I got this great God sighting I want to tell. It's going to take up the whole sermon time. It's cool. You won't believe it. I went out fishing. The fish were jumping into the boat, and I had to call these other boats over on the Hudson River. They were brimming there. They were almost tipping over. It was unbelievable. We had to get it close enough to shore and jump out and pull it in. You know, we had to go call that boat place that goes out and rescue boats. It was incredible. That's what I would be doing, and see if I can get on CNN and all the other news shows and CBN and all the, you know, go on and see, talk to Connie Van Cleek and get on WFGB. Well, that's not what he said, is it? So what's going on there? I mean, Peter, what's going on? Well, the text says, from Peter's perspective, he was feeling pretty sinful right now. And he would know that his sin was very, such an affront between him and God that he just couldn't be and bear to be in Jesus' presence. Now, Peter would be aware of the Jewish sacrificial system, all the sacrifices that you do to make atonement, to get right with God. He'd be aware of all the ceremonial washings. I mean, it was serious stuff to be clean before God. You could not bring sin into God's presence. Peter had an acute sense how bad sin was. Now, what was Jesus thinking at the same time here? I mean, I kind of think, I would expect at this point, Jesus to say, go and sin no more. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, and he deals with an emotion with Peter. And it's the emotion of fear. Because Jesus tells him what? Don't be afraid. So you got a mix of things going on in Peter. He's feeling guilty, can't be before a righteous God. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Well, what brought Peter to that point? This a little bit of a conjecturing here. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't completely tell us. It just tells us these two things. And again, I can't wait to ask Peter to ask him why, when Jesus did this amazing thing, you fell at his feet and you declared what a sinner you were before him and you couldn't be in his presence. I suspect, my hunch is, if he had a bad attitude or just didn't believe that Jesus was giving him good advice to go out and let down the nets, that when Jesus blessed him with an abundant catch of fish, like overflowing, beyond amazing, he couldn't handle the blessing when maybe he wasn't really believing Jesus could do something like anything like that. And maybe he had a bad attitude a little bit, even though he surrendered to put the boat out there. And so he's maybe feeling guilty about that. I don't know. I just know that sometimes when I go and I do things for Christ and I'm part of some outreach, and then things go on, and I look and I go, whoa, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. This person showed up at the right moment just when we needed some. I didn't think about that either. And I step back and I go, I thought I had this planned out, and obviously God had way more going on than I could ever thought, imagine, or planned. And it doesn't make me get arrogant. It makes me get humble before God. Now, I've never fallen on my knees declaring myself a terrible sinner and telling Jesus to get lost. But I think there's a little bit of that here with Peter. And it brings me to my favorite Bible verse, Romans 5:8, that says this: God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? God blesses us before we even change. God takes care of our sin problem before we change being a sinner. While we're still a sinner, he died for us. And I think Peter's kind of coming to grips that God's grace is coming to him anyway, irregardless of what he is and what he's done. Without a doubt, what's happening here with Peter is he's going through some sort of spiritual transformation. He found out that Jesus came to fish for sinners. And Peter, I think, just got caught by Jesus. Same is true for us. As God changes our hearts, when we follow him, we're going to want to go and share it with others. But without that changed heart, that experience of Christ coming in here, I mean, when it gets in there and you know that Jesus' word to you is fear not. I've taken care of all that junk. Don't be afraid of it. I'm here. It's a new beginning. Come, follow me, and let's go fishing for other people. I came to take away that sin, and I want to go with you. I want you to come with me, Peter, right now. And he invites all of us. I want you now to be part of the fishing expedition in today's world. There's many people around us locally who don't know God. It's not time for us to shrink back and wait. We need to act and do what Christ is leading us to do and reach out and love and share the gospel. I'm encouraged by the new outreach events that we've done in the past year at Grace Church. But honestly, at times I've kind of felt a little scared about them. I mean, I had no idea what trunk or treat was. I'd ask, what's trunk or treat, you know? And it seemed to get bigger and bigger, and what a great blessing it was. If you were here for it, it was really incredible last fall, and we're doing it again this year. Yeah, I didn't really know how the block party this summer was going to go. And, you know, some concerns. Do we have enough people signed up about it? And you come here, and it's like all these people are here. Somehow the word got out. A lot of neighbors from around the church came here. You invited some people to come here. What a great time it was. And a week before the Habitat painting party, I only had 6 people who were confirmed to do it. And I'm kind of thinking, it's going to be interesting. We got a lot to do, and I don't know how it's going to get done. And it all worked out. We had a lot of fun. It was a lot of joy. I suppose if we were to work out every detail for every outreach events we would ever do, we'd probably leave God out of them. But when we get out of our comfort zone, we get to see what God can do that we can't do. In the end, it's really all about him. It's not about us. And you see, Danny and Susan know what that's about because they stepped out. And they have joy. So Grace Church, I want to tell you, fear not. Those are the words of Jesus to Peter. We don't have to worry about our past sins. We don't have to fear our foibles. We don't have to be scared of our inadequacies. Jesus tells us to fear not. Come follow me and become fishers of men. So I want to bring our message to a close here. And I want to ask you if you know about the famous hockey player named Wayne Gretzky. Do you know Wayne Gretzky? Anybody heard of him? Yeah. Considered to be the best hockey player of all time, right? Pretty much. I know there's some that might argue some others, but he's way up there. Well, he's quoted as saying this: skate to where the puck is going, not to where it has been. I like that one. If Jesus is the puck, we need to skate where that puck is going. But to get there, we're going to need to surrender to Jesus. We'll need to leave what's ever holding us back. And when you surrender and leave, be sure that you do follow Christ as you reach out in our community. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing it with all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think we all want the kind of joy that we see in Danny and Susan. And it's really you. It's not Danny and Susan. It's listening to what you would ask us to do. Help us to get going on that. Let us do it together. And we're going to always come back and give you all the glory. Amen.